We're joined now from London by the diplomatic editor of the Times of London, Richard Beeston, and the BBC's Jill MacIvering. Hello to you both. Let me begin with you, if I may, Mr. Beeston. What further details can you give us about these attacks?
Well, it's now the picture's becoming a little bit clearer. It seems that three underground stations were attacked and a bus, as you said in your report. Large parts of the city were closed off. We are seeing a return to some sort of normality now. A lot of people didn't go into work. This was the attacks took place right at the peak of rush hour, and those who were caught in the underground or the buses were basically told to go home if they could, or to make their own way on foot to work. Now I'd say the city is returning to something like a normality.
It is evening rush hour there. People are going back home, at least those who went in earlier.
That's right. And in fact, there's traffic right outside my office, and it seems to be moving fairly smoothly. We've had a little bit of feedback about the operation itself that took place, and the authorities seem reasonably content that it reacted, that the services reacted quickly and fairly effectively in getting the victims out. And now, of course, begins the long process of trying to piece together who did it and how to stop them.
Jill MacIvering, you were out earlier at the scenes of the explosions. What did you see?
Yes, I'm close to where two of the explosions happened. One was the bus that blew up, and also very close to that, an explosion inside the underground. It's been chaotic here, basically, for several hours after those explosions. I was here within about half an hour. We had doctors and nurses from the hospitals in this area. This is the area of teaching hospitals. So they were running through the streets with whatever medical equipment they could grab, with stretchers, trying to get through and support the ambulances. And, of course, the emergency services coming in wave after wave, trying to get through. The whole area has been tightly cordoned off ever since. I'm still here at the cordon, still cameras waiting, and the police here basically keeping everything under control. So most of our information has come from eyewitnesses, but very vivid accounts from people still in shock. One person we spoke to who was close to the bus blast when that exploded, she described the bus as ripped to shreds and spoke of carnage. One of my colleagues had just got off that bus, and he talked about the fact that he saw many dead bodies and a lot of people very seriously injured. We also spoke to a nurse who was just going down into the underground station as the explosion underground took place. She was trying to give basic first aid as much as she could to people, but she was clearly very distressed when she spoke to us. She said everyone coming out of the underground station had been affected in some way, either minor cuts and bruises, but also a lot of very serious burns and also some really nasty injuries. She was talking about people being carried out in blankets with missing limbs. So she was extremely concerned about what she thought might be a massive loss of life.
I expect it will be a while before you know the exact toll in terms of casualties, but already reports of 40 dead and hundreds injured. How crowded are these subways, and what might these numbers actually look like in another few hours?
I'm not surprised at all that the death toll does seem to be rising. Just from the accounts that we've heard from eyewitnesses, it sounds as though there may be a great many fatalities. This was right at the peak of rush hour, shortly after 9 o'clock in the morning. So the area around this is an area where there are students, tourists, businesses. This area would be thick with people, and the underground trains are normally absolutely chock-a-block. People are standing tightly packed in the compartments. So it's hard to imagine what it must have been like there.
Richard Beeston, you say that the city is feeling that, or officials are feeling that, they've responded to these attacks in a way that they had planned to.
Yes, I mean, I think people certainly in a position of authority, or certainly with contacts with the government, have been expecting this. I mean, frankly, ever since September the 11th happened and Tony Blair signed up alongside George Bush and sent British troops to Afghanistan and Iraq, we have been expecting something like this to happen. And on many occasions I've had people in intelligence services tell me it's not a matter of if but when. Well, that's now happened. They have had dry rehearsals for exactly this type of attack, as the Mayor Ken Livingstone explained today. The problem problem, of course, is London is a big, open, cosmopolitan city, and just as other cities that have been hit by this sort of attack, it's almost impossible to defend against this unless you have excellent intelligence and you're able to get these groups before they're able to hit your civilians.
Jill McGivering, I know you have other duties at the BBC and have to go away from us. Thank you for being with us. Richard Beeston, if I may continue with you just for a moment. You say that the authorities have been expecting an attack in London. Wouldn't this day seem particularly appropriate from the standpoint of the terrorists? That is, the G8 summit is quite a target, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. One factor that's been exposed by this, of course, is that most of the anti-terrorist operation, most of the police efforts have been concentrated up in Scotland, where the Gleneagles summit is actually taking place, and not down here. If the aim of the group responsible was to disrupt the G8, they successfully did that. Tony Blair had to break into his meeting to come down here. And if they were hoping to terrorize the citizens of London, I think they were also pretty successful, because many people are in shock, and it was only yesterday people were celebrating winning the Olympic bid, and of course today there's this aura of terrorism hanging over the city.
Richard Beeston, Diplomatic Editor of the Times of London, thank you.